I'm Judith Smelser in for Mark Simpson, and this is Intersection. Our political coverage kicks into high gear this week with less than a month to go before the Florida primary. Starting next week, we'll bring you Ballot 2010, an Intersection special. 2 weeks of debates with the candidates for Orange County Mayor and Orange County School Board Chair. But this week, it's our monthly political segment with commentators Dick Batchelor and Lou Fry. It'll be their last chance to give their predictions for the primary, and it's coming up on Intersection. Well, the political landscape looks a lot different than most of us thought it would just a few short months ago. The highly anticipated Republican U.S. Senate primary between Governor Charlie Crist and former State House Speaker Marco Rubio fizzled after Crist went independent this spring. Then the Democratic side of the Senate race started heating up when a wealthy dark horse candidate jumped into the lead ahead of a sitting congressman. And in the governor's race, another well-financed unknown gained the edge in the Republican primary. Plus, there are two big congressional primaries in Central Florida and those two important Orange County races on the August 24th ballot. It's a lot to talk about, and who better to talk about it than our regular political commentators, former Democratic State Representative Dick Batchelor. Hi, Dick.
Good to be back. Thank you.
And former Republican Congressman Lou Fry. Hi there, Lou.
I'm throwing my hat in. It looks like there's an opening somewhere.
It will be soon.
Well, that'll be interesting.
I think the landscape has changed because it's been carpet bombed.
Well, you know, it's always great to have you guys with us. So, you know, 3 or 4 months ago, we all thought the big story was going to be the Republican U.S. Senate primary. Crist and Rubio, how things have changed. Dick, what do you think?
Changed big time. In fact, it was quite interesting to see Crist actually move up in the polls, you know, again in a three-way race, though. And Marco Rubio, obviously a very attractive candidate, former Speaker of the House, very bright, gives great speeches and all. But the Democrats have got their own problem in the primary. But I think Crist had to go independent. It's the only way he could have a chance to win the race, I believe. And as an independent, whoever survives the primary, I think he has a good chance at appealing to some Democrats and moderate Republicans.
Well, and so now the big question is the Democratic primary, which nobody really thought was going to be that much of a big deal. The guy everybody thought was going to be the shoe-in for the nomination, Miami Congressman Kendrick Meek, is behind in the polls to somebody nobody had ever heard of, Jeff Green. Dick, what do you think about that?
Well, this is Lou.
Right.
The real question is, and this is, can you buy a Senate seat or can you buy a governor's seat? It's happened before. I ran for governor against a fine gentleman named Jack Eckert, who owned every drugstore in the world, I think. And he was a friend of mine. I'd helped him get an appointment. At the last minute, he decided to run for the governor and left me hanging out there. And every time I get endorsed by a paper, he would increase his advertising in the papers and on TV about Eckert drugs, and because that was legal. I mean, nothing to do with the campaign, right? Mm-hmm. And he, at the end, told me that I helped drive his stock up 2 or 3 points in the end. So he not only won, but he made money. And it's very, very, very frustrating if you've been in it like Meek has. You've done a job. You've worked hard. You have a record. But frankly, nobody cares. And by the way, that's the other thing. You're going to have a very low voter turnout this time. And that could really mess up some races.
Well, and so, Dick, I mean, we're talking about this Democratic primary between Kendrick Meek, who's obviously got the establishment support. I mean, I've heard that Bill Clinton might be coming down to campaign for him, versus this guy, Jeff Green, who is funding his own campaign. So who comes out on top?
Well, first of all, this campaign reminds me of when Joe Kennedy, John Kennedy's father, basically said, you know, I don't care if you buy the election, buy the presidency, just don't spend a damn dime more than necessary. So at least he was frugal about it. But Jeff Green, if you got $1 billion, you could spend $100 million, be a United States senator, and still have $900 million. Maybe we should appoint him Secretary of the Treasury and get out of the deficit situation we're in. Poor Kendrick Meek, though. I served in the legislature with Kendrick's mom, Carrie Meek, wonderful lady. Kendrick's worked hard. I've known him since he was a page, highway patrolman, House member, senator, congressman, and he's out there. And of course, you infer the last day of qualifying, Jeff Green, a billionaire, comes out of no place. And Kendrick's raising money, but it's very hard. I mean, if a guy can write a check for $1 million every single day, which he can, it's hard to raise some money. Bill Clinton's already done 4 small fundraisers for him. He'll get him to do another. Rahm Emanuel, the chief of staff to the president, is doing one for him. But, you know, if you raise another million, the other guy writes a check for $4 or $5 million. it's money is going to drive that primary, and it's going to be very interesting. But I think what's going to happen, as a final note, if it's Green against Crist, I think you're going to see a lot of Democrats move towards Crist.
So do you think Green's going to win?
Well, yeah, because he got the checkbook. I mean, if he's willing, he's already demonstrated he's willing to spend as much money if it needs to be, not unlike Rick Scott and the
maybe
the
he could
place.
Adopt us.
Yeah, maybe he could do that. But, yeah, if you're not going to spend $15, $20, $30 million and change your mind midstream. The guy's got another $900 million minimum.
Right. So, Lou, you going for Green in that one as well?
I think that's going to be a closer race than maybe what's going to happen on the Republican side in the governor's race. For whatever reason, I don't think Green has sold quite as well as maybe he hoped to be able to sell. But again, he has unlimited resources, and when people don't care about a race, they tune in a little bit. They're maybe going to go out and vote. If he can drive the voters to the polls with his television ads, he'll win.
Can I interject one quick thing
sure
here?
Sure.
Not to disagree with Lou, but if you're going to have a 20% turnout, that's what I predict, 20%.
Yeah.
August 24th is the worst time. People either going on vacation, returning from vacation, enrolling the kids in school or whatever. They're not attracted to politics, number one. Number two, you get this great angst out there. People just, they don't like politics to begin with. Maybe 20%. What will give Kenny Meek a chance to win this primary if he does direct mail, direct mail, direct mail? He's got to get those voters out that are traditional super voters, predominantly blacks. If he does that and he spends his money like a rifle shot on getting the vote out, he can beat the money that Green is spending.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that, because that's what I had to try and do. Republican one, it's a little bit different, too.
Well, let's back
okay.
up. Let's remind people what we're talking about here. We keep making reference to it. Well, because there's another well-financed candidate.
The governor's
race on the GOP side. Everybody thought McCollum would be the Attorney General Bill McCollum would be the shoe-in for that. And so now he's having to deal with Rick
he
Scott.
He is, and
so
he made a real bad mistake his campaign. They let this guy run ads for 2 months alleging what a wonderful businessman he is. This person has an atrocious record. Dick and I guess, have known every governor, at least since Claude Kirk on up, and our governors have been good people. You know, you agree with them, you don't agree. But this guy's record, I mean, to think he's going to be, could be the governor of Florida and all the people around him, I mean, it's just hard to believe. I don't think Scott will be the governor. I don't care if he wins the primary or not. I know there are a lot of Republicans, including me, who will not vote for somebody with that kind of record. You know, $1.7 billion fine, the biggest fraud in the history of the country, and he knew nothing about it.
Yes,
you know,
you're talking about when he was a healthcare executive.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
$1.7 billion Medicare
fraud
penalty.
Against his company.
A penalty.
The Democrats, I think that the Alex Sinker is in a great position. Keep your mouth quiet. Just sit there. Let the Republicans shoot each other. And sort of hope that Scott wins, because Scott will be a lot easier to beat. And the press has been relatively easy on him. But I guarantee you, if he's the Republican nominee, you know, the next couple months there's going to be blood in the water as that they beat the heck out of him.
And as a Democrat, I feel their pain. I hate to see them fight like that.
I know you do, Dick. Well, now, we should point out, obviously, Rick Scott has denied any involvement in any of this fraud.
He was the only CEO.
He was the only CEO.
No comment from this end. But the question is, though, guys, do you think that in that race the money is going to be enough? Is Rick Scott going to come out again ahead of Bill McCollum?
Because the one thing that McCollum can do is, if he can get the Republican organization to turn out the vote, he can maybe make up the 8-point difference or the 7-point difference, whatever it's going to be. He's going to need a strong voter turnout, just like Meek does. Don't you think the races are just the same, Dick?
It's the same. He's got to get out. It all turns out to get out the vote. But the super voters, the loyalists in the Republican primary, they tend to be a lot more conservative. They've supported Bill McCollum in different races. So if he can get some out, he can pull an upset. But otherwise, it's money's driving both of these campaigns.
Now, Lou Fry, I just have to follow up on something you said, which was that if Rick Scott won the primary, you wouldn't vote for him. Who would you vote for?
I'd vote for Meek. Or I'm sorry, not Meek.
Alex
I'm the other race.
Alex Sink.
You vote for Sink?
Yeah, I would. This state, to me, is more important than what's an R or D behind your name.
You're listening to our monthly political conversation on Intersection here on 90.7 WMFE. I'm Judith Smelser in for Mark Simpson. We're talking with former Democratic State Representative Dick Batchelor and former Republican Congressman Lou Fry. What do you think will happen in the Senate and governor's primaries? Who are you voting for? Join the conversation at the new Florida Talks blog. And while you're there, you can see what public radio listeners around the state are talking about as well. There's a link to that blog on our website, WMFE.org/intersection. Coming up, we'll ask Dick Batchelor and Lou Fry about all the Republicans who want to take a shot at Central Florida's two first-term congressional Democrats. That's next on Intersection. This is Intersection on 90.7 WMFE. I'm Judith Smelser in for Mark Simpson, and we're talking with our political commentators Dick Batchelor and Lou Fry. Okay, guys, let's move to Congress. So two vulnerable freshman Democrats in Central Florida, Suzanne Cosmas on the Space Coast, Alan Grayson in Orlando, and a bevy of Republicans looking to take their place. Let's start with the Grayson race. That's District 8. Seven Republicans are trying to go for the nomination there. Lou Fry, from what you know about the inner workings of the Republican Party, who's your pick?
Well, first, let me say that people have to understand this is a winner-take-all. It used to be you needed to get 50% of the vote, and if you didn't, there was a runoff. And that's, frankly, how Bob Graham survived and Lawton Childs. They were able to do well in the second primary. Now, if seven people in it, you could win with 25% of the vote. So it's a name recognition contest. And, you know, who has the money to begin with? The legislator from... up in the Ocala,
Kirk Kelly.
He's certainly there. Webster has got some
former state name senator
recognition.
Dan Webster.
Donahue's got some money.
Bruce
O'Donohue's
a businessman.
It's truly right now nobody's leading. I don't think you could pick a favorite.
You can't pick a favorite.
You could say that maybe it's going to be Webster because he has somewhat of an organization left, as does Kelly. But my guess it's of those three it'll be one, and I have no idea who it'll be.
You're not taking a guess.
I don't know.
Dick Batchelor.
I just came from Casadega. I'll guess. but Lou's right. When you get seven candidates in the race, you know it's name recognition. It's too short. It's August 24th. Few people care. However, this man Bruce Donahue raised $350,000. He has the former Senate President and Lieutenant Governor Tony Jennings behind him. Former United States Senator Mel Martinez behind him. Then it comes out he hasn't paid his federal taxes. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say you want to run government like you do your business if you don't pay your taxes. So that's
if you can get over right.
That's a hiccup. That's a hiccup on that. But Dan Webster, having been Speaker of the House, longtime legislator, Senator, Majority Leader. You know, he's got some name recognition. I was out in West Orange County this weekend in Hyde Park, and every fourth house had a Dan Webster. The thing about Dan is because you have conservatives turnout in the Republican primary, he's a diehard, and he's a very conservative guy. He doesn't wear it on his sleeves, but he's a very religious guy. People who support Dan Webster are really, they're like missionaries. They really love Dan Webster. Those people who love you are more likely to vote than people who kind of like you. They got a reason to turn out for you. For that reason, I think, Dan, I do know that this week some of, Mayor Crotty's, of course, helping him and some others, County Commissioner Fred Brummer, they'll get together this week. If they can put together $250,000 money bomb, I think he can go in and win the primary. And that race between, I would pay money to see Dan Webster run against Alan Grayson.
Well, so that was going to be my next question for you, Dick Batchelor, as a Democrat. Who does Grayson want to run against?
I don't know if he knows. I really don't know. I think either way it's going to be strong, but I think it'd be a classic liberal against a classic Republican in that race. National attention, Fox money is going to be pouring into that race. It will be a knockdown, drag-out race. And Grayson's proved that he will...
He doesn't back off. I would say that of the two races, this is the one the Republicans have the best chance of winning. And Grayson has done so much and put his foot in his mouth for so much that he's given people a lot of ammunition. If you notice, he's kept very quiet except for a $70,000 DVD or something he set out. But he's kept relatively quiet now, and you can't discount him. But if you had to take the Republican races around the country, I would say this is one of the five top races for Republicans, not only in putting money in, but in the fact they think they can win it.
I'll come back to that in a minute, Lou Fry, but one name you didn't mention was Todd Long, who, of course, ran in that primary against Rick Keller in the past, and he's sort of got the Tea Party kind of backing, I believe. What do you think is his impact?
Well, I think the problems he had with in the last race that came out and that I still think are dragging along in that. And in the numbers, the polls I've seen, which are certainly not any final indication, but he just isn't getting any traction whatsoever. And I guess that's why I didn't mention it.
Okay. Well, so now let's move on to the District 24 race. That Suzanne Cosmas is the incumbent there. Now, we should point out that unlike Grayson, she does have a primary opponent, Paul Partica, a former mayor of Winter Springs. He hasn't raised much money. Dick, you're a Democrat. Do you think he has a chance?
No.
Okay.
I think, you know, if you look at Suzanne Cosmas, the one thing she's done, she's focused on the issue. She's been upfront on the whole the NASA jobs protecting the all the explorations that are manned, space flight. And she's raised $2 million,
mm-hmm.
and not necessarily in that order. So it's very, very important. So I don't see him getting any traction. And I think what in Lewinford, in the general election, too, I think she, if I were the Republican National Committee, I'd spend less money in that race. I'd spend more money in the Grayson race.
Because you think
I think she has a very strong chance of winning.
She doesn't need it as much
as
Grayson.
She's incumbent. People hate the Congress, but they love their congresswoman.
Right.
Yeah. And that's a question of how much that's going to be true across the board. But I, as I said before, I think that's the race that the Democrats, at least it's a toss-up. She's done a good job. She's a small businesswoman. She's certainly helped in the space program and that. And I think she made a mistake on the health care vote when she voted both ways, which is probably her biggest vulnerability. But I wouldn't be shocked to see that there's a 50-50 split. We got one new member and one old one out of those two races.
Well, first of all, before we can get to that point, we got to figure out what's going to happen in the primary. Lou Frey, who do you think?
I didn't go to Casadega. And
five
again,
people trying to run,
you know,
for that
again,
nomination.
When you do it and you go out and ask people, and I know some of them running in that, but you ask people who's running, they have no idea. I mean, it is truly a race where nobody really has any great name recognition. The money's been tough to come by, and it's like picking you know, something out of a hat in terms of who's going to be the nominee.
State Representative Sandy Adams, does she have a leg
up?
She
has an organization and that, and can do it. Sandy's a tough worker. She's gone door to door. I've known her for a long time, and she would be a credible foe in terms of the general.
But I'll go back very quickly to the two issues. I think, number one, August 24th primary is a horrible time, maybe 20% turnout, maybe. And secondly, no one cares.
Yeah.
In fact, the one that do cares are really anti-incumbent, anti-government. Now, again, I call that angst. You can call it Tea Party, whatever. But, you know, I people don't want to hear it. I mean, you'd say, I'm John Doe, and I'm running. They're going, okay, fine. You know, I thought you were Amway, but go away.
Yeah, and go away quickly.
So you think the Republicans just won't turn out for this primary?
Well, I think they'll turn out. But, again, it's a traditional Republican, the diehards of people. You got to target the people who are what we call super voters. If they voted in the last two primaries, they're likely to vote. If they didn't vote in any of the two last primaries but only in one of the two generals, ignore them. Totally don't even talk to them. Don't spend your money. They're not consequential. They're not going to show up.
So when you run a race, you can target that. You have all these sophisticated stuff, and you really can go ahead. So your money's going to people who there's an 80% chance they're going to vote. Otherwise, it's going to maybe with a 20% chance. So it just makes sense looking at the numbers.
So do you think, Dick Batchelor, do you think it matters who Suzanne Cosmas runs against, whether it's Sandy Adams or the former CEO of Ruth's Chris, Craig Miller, or former Winter Park City Commissioner Karen Diebel, or any of the other folks
that
are running?
Well, it's interesting. I think Diebel's actually raised more money than any of them, and she has a lot of appeal to people. I think if you were going to just choose somebody by definition, having the former head of a business person, I think probably has some grasp to it. If you were given the choice, again, between a, quote, a successful business person versus somebody who served at local government, with the animosity that people have towards elected government, you know, I would think having the business credentials might give you one up.
Well, the other part of it is, in a race like that, if I'm sitting in the Republican Party up in Tallahassee and looking at it, I'm probably saying to myself, yeah, maybe a woman would be better to run in that race, a Republican woman run. It's very difficult sometimes to, as a male, to run against a woman in a fairly heated race. It's still tough.
We're talking with former Democratic State Representative Dick Batchelor and former Republican Congressman Lou Frey on Intersection on 90.7 WMFE. I'm Judith Smelser in for Mark Simpson. If you live in one of those congressional districts, we certainly would love to hear from you. Who are you voting for? And tell us why on the new Florida Talks blog. There's a link at WMFE.org/intersection. Up next, Dick and Lou go local. We'll hear their picks for Orange County Mayor and School Board Chair. That's after a break. We'll be right back. This is Intersection on 90.7 WMFE. I'm Judith Smeltzer in for Mark Simpson, and this is our monthly political powwow with Democrat Dick Batchelor and Republican Lou Fry. Moving now to the local level, Orange County has two big elections coming up for mayor and for school board chair. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, Intersection will have the mayor's candidates in for a debate next week at this time during our Ballot 2010 special. And then the school board candidates will square off the following week. And we do want to invite you, our listeners, to send us questions for those candidates. You can do that at ballot@WMFE.org. So Dick Batchelor and Lou Fry, looking at these races, there are four major candidates in the mayor's race, three current or former county commissioners, one outsider from the business world. Lou Fry, how do you see this race shaping up?
My guess it's going to be, Dick, a two-way race. It looks like the newspaper endorsement has certainly got to be a help on Sunday.
Teresa Jacobs, a Republican.
Of course, Bill Siegel has raised a lot of money and has a lot of money to come out. And my guess, those are the two horses that are going to be running hardest down the stretch. Both. Yeah, he's raised a lot of money, and he's going to spend it on ads and that. And again, as we've continually pointed out in this, if you can figure out who the heck's going to vote and get to him, you got a better chance than normal.
Dick Batchelor, if it does come down, do you agree that it's going to come down to those two folks?
Yeah, I agree. It is. It's number one, Bill's, of course, an incumbent. He's a very astute. Before he was commissioner, he chaired the St. George River Water Management District, appointed by the governor at the time. So he's got a lot of background. He's been attentive on the issues. He's got a tremendous amount of money. And he has a tremendous amount of money. But again, as Lou said, with Teresa Jacobs being endorsed by the Orlando Sentinel, one of the advantages Teresa has is this. She was an insider, but she can run as an outsider. Because when she was an insider, she was an outsider. She fought with her colleagues a lot. She pushed things, financial disclosure, lobby registration. In fact, she forced things onto the referendum as an amendment to the charter because she couldn't get her colleagues to do certain things. So she's an interesting person because even though there's this animosity against incumbency, and she was an incumbent of 8 years, she can run as an outsider. So that race is going to be a very, very interesting race. Again, because Bill has raised so much money and he has the ability to go back to the, you've got a $500.
And they're both decent people.
Oh, they're very, very.
They're both good people.
If the campaign is between those two, yeah. I think it'll be a very informed kind of a debate, and I think you're going to have two great candidates.
Well, now you're counting out Linda Stewart, a commissioner and a Democrat, someone who's been around for a long time. Dick, are you counting her out completely?
It's very tough when you're running a county, right? I mean, she's done a great job in her district. I mean, her mentor is Fran Pignoni, a former commissioner, ran for mayor herself, was also, ironically enough, the chairman of Water Management District many years ago. So, and she's a big, strong environmentalist. And Linda's done she knows her constituents very well. She's there on that bicycle. She's door-to-door. She knows it. But she's got five more districts in which she is not known. And if you don't get money
isn't it sad that money is absolutely so key to our political system? Forget quality and everything else. Just, I don't mean that people raise money are bad. I just mean that if you do raise money, it's a tremendous advantage.
Well, and Lou Fry, on the Republican side, you've got Matthew Falconer, who's a businessman. He's a complete outsider. Can he capitalize on any of the anti-incumbency fever that's all over the country?
Sure, a little bit, but not enough to propel him to victory. And again, let's thank a lot of these people who are running. It's a tough business. I tell people if they don't like the sight of blood, especially their own, don't run, because today in that you're going to be in it. So, I mean, you've got good people in that race, all over the race, and I think we're going to end up, whoever it is, with a good person as the new county mayor.
Well, I mentioned the Democrat and Republican issues, and technically, of course, this is a nonpartisan race, so everybody votes for everybody. But, I mean, Dick Batchelor, do you think that the fact is that, Bill Siegel's a Democrat, Linda Stewart's a Democrat, Teresa Jacobs is a Republican, Falconer's a Republican, so does that make any difference in this?
Well, only if they make it make difference. I saw where Lou Oliver, the chairman of the Republican Party, came out and started attacking Bill Siegel. He's not really one of us. He's a Democrat.
Because a lot of people think he's a Republican.
And frankly, in the local races, who cares?
Who really cares
in local races? Yeah. I've never seen a Democrat or Republican pothole in my life or a ditch or anything like that. But here's the risk. I think Lou Oliver needs to be careful. If you make it partisan, then you raise the stakes, because there are some people today would vote for Teresa Jacobs because she traditionally did things that Democrats were expected to do. So she has a bipartisan approach. If they make it partisan, then she invites the people to say, oh, you're a Republican. it cuts both ways. So if I were Lou Oliver, I would suggest that he might not want to talk about that much more because I think it does no service to Teresa.
Now, this is not a winner-take-all race, we should point out. So if nobody gets 50%, it goes to a runoff in November. Do you think it's going to go to a runoff, Dick Batchelor?
Well, I don't think anybody's going to get 50% plus.
Yeah, I think that's – I'll take money on that one. That's one of the few things we've talked about today I think you can put money on.
And in November, whoever wins, it's winner, not take-all. It's winner gets all.
Yeah.
All the problems, all the headaches and everything else.
So you would say it's going to be – in November, it's going to be Teresa Jacobs versus Bill Seeger.
I think that's the way it looks right now.
Right.
It's a guess only.
Oh, understood. Absolutely. We're not going to hold you to
anything. No, I thought you were betting on it.
Well,
I wanted some money.
That's right. That's right. So moving to the school board chair in Orange County, that race is historic. First time Orange County will have a school board chair elected countywide. And the voters approved that new position in the last election. There's three candidates, Bill Sublette, Homer Hardage, Leona Rockman. By the way, they will be debating 2 weeks from today on our Ballot 2010 intersection special. So what's going to happen in this, Lou Fry?
It seems with the fact that Bill Sublette has run before, has been a state legislator, has got a pretty good background in this, has been very much involved in education and has raised money. Again, here we come back to it, has raised money in organization. I think that you'd have to say that Bill right now is leading. And looking at it, doesn't seem like anybody else has raised a heck of a lot of money to oppose him.
Dick Batchelor, obviously a big issue for you. So who do you see coming out on top?
I see Bill Sublette. In fact, I told Bill, I mean, he is a former member of the House, Republican, chaired a lot of committees. He did some incredible things when he was there. He did away with title loan companies, outlaw profiling on 95 against minorities. And then when he came back, he chaired the Juvenile Commission statewide. He also chaired the whole jail commission to revamp the jails here, which were in really bad shape. And he chaired the Blue Ribbon Committee on Public Education. And I told Bill, by virtue of the fact that you won't hold this job, proves to me that you're not otherwise qualified. Mm-hmm. But he has he's done a lot of homework. Homer Hardage would be the second strongest candidate as a former county commissioner. The irony is, though, Homer opposed the ballot issue, allowing people to have a vote on a countywide school board chair, but now he's running for the position. So that's a little awkward, I think, to try to explain that. But very quickly, when we co-chaired the half a penny sales tax back in 2002, which was to bring well over $2 billion to the school system, the one thing we had to really talk about was accountability. People did not trust the school system to be accountable to expenditures of those dollars. One of the reasons was there was no strong mayor, former government. If you believe in a strong mayor, former government, Mayor Dyer runs citywide, strong mayor. Crotty runs countywide, strong mayor. If you believe in a strong mayor, former government, why would it apply to the school system? Somebody needs to be in charge. Somebody needs to be the spokesperson. You need to be able to go to somebody when something goes wrong and said, you're not the rotating chairperson. You are the chairperson. Let's talk to you.
And it was obvious coming out of that, the problems and everything. And a lot of the work we did, you could see some of it getting wasted because there wasn't somebody in charge. Everybody could point the finger at somebody else, but the buck does have to stop in one place.
We're going to have to leave it there. That's all the time we have for this week. And next time you come in, we'll know if your predictions came true. As always, thank you so much for your time and your insight. And also, as always, the conversation continues online. Send your questions for the Orange County Mayor and School Board candidates to ballot@WMFE.org. And share your thoughts about all the primary races at the Florida Talks blog on our website, WMFE.org/intersection. And while you're there, you can also download the Intersection podcast. Intersection is made possible by WMFE members and by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Tune in next week for the Orange County Mayor's debate in the first of our Ballot 2010 Intersection specials. For now, I'm Judith Smelser in for Mark Simpson. Thanks for listening.